room if we would put it on the floor. I got to tell you, this is a little bit smaller space than I'm used to because, you know, I move around a little bit, as most of you know. And so if I disappear tonight, today, it's not rapture practice, okay? But let me say this. He is risen.
He is risen.
Come on, you can do better than that. He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen, amen. Okay, if you have your Bibles today, and I hope you do, would you join me, please, in John chapter 20? John chapter 20. Like Jehu through Jerusalem, I need to do this quickly, so I'm just going to pick it up in verse 19, okay? So if you'll join me, in verse 19 it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.' Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came." That's sad. That's sad. He missed it. He missed it. Verse 25, "The other disciples therefore said to him, 'When we have seen the Lord,' so he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas came to them, Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' And then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And truly," and Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet believe." Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you, Father, that you have drawn us into your presence, into your place this day, Resurrection Sunday. I pray, Father, that you would just minister to hearts. I pray that Satan would be bound, that our thoughts not wander, but that we have a heart to hear what you would say on this day as we commit it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I am almost certain that you don't know who Elisha Gray is. Probably 99.99% of you have never heard of the name before. You don't know him, you don't know the name, you don't know anything about him, but had he not been late, every single one of us would know him. Everyone would know him. But on March the 7th, 1876, he was late. He didn't show up. And when he didn't show up, patent number 176465 had already been given to someone else, someone that you do know very well, Alexander Graham Bell. You see, Elisha Gray had invented a telephone the same time as Alexander Graham Bell. History is full of that. History is full of people that missed it. Elisha Gray missed it. But I'll tell you what, folks, no one missed it the way that Thomas missed it in John chapter 20. And what I want us to see this morning, this Easter Sunday morning, this Resurrection Sunday morning, is that something happens when you miss the resurrected Christ. Something happens. Now, this is a fascinating chapter to me. I've always found it fascinating. But it says in verse 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, I wonder, what day? It says that same day. What day are they talking about? They're talking about this day, the day of the resurrection. They're talking about the first day of the week, Sunday. That's why we gather today. That's why we meet on Sunday, because it's Resurrection Sunday, and it goes forward from there. That day, the Lord Jesus made five appearances. First of all, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. We see that here in John chapter 20. It's also in Matthew 28. He also appeared to the other women, it tells us in Matthew 28, which is interesting to me because I'm going to get in trouble right off the bat. But I wonder, why did he appear to women before the men? You ever wonder that? Just saying. Let me press on here. Then he appeared to Simon Peter. And this would have been incredible because, you know, we're told in Luke chapter 24 as well as in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that he appeared to Peter. And it had to have been just fascinating, because the last time we heard from Peter, he had denied the Lord. And then in Luke chapter 22 and verse 61, we see that Jesus looked at Peter. Can you imagine that look? Can you imagine the emotion of that look when Peter looked at his Savior, the one he had denied, and their eyes locked? And now, this is the next time he sees them, and he appeared to them. They have this unbelievable encounter, but we're not told anything about that, are we? But then it says that Jesus appeared to these two disciples. Now, they weren't part of the original 12, but they had followed Christ, and he appears to them on that road to Emmaus. And he takes the scriptures, and from the Old Testament, he shows them all the things that the Lord would suffer, all the things that he would have to go through, that he'd be crucified, and then that he'd be resurrected. And then now he appears to these 10 disciples. Judas isn't there. By this time, he's gone and hung himself. And Thomas wasn't there. Verse 24 says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them." This is sad. This is so, so sad. I don't know why he wasn't there. I mean, it drives me nuts because I need to know these kinds of things. It does. It drives me crazy. Why wasn't he there? What was he doing? Did he have Junior off to hockey that Sunday morning? Maybe it was soccer. Oh, the Greyhounds were playing the night before. But he wasn't there. He missed it. He missed it. Did he miss it because he didn't love Jesus? Well, I don't think so, because back in John chapter 11, I believe that from this passage that he loved him very much. Lazarus had died, and word came to Jesus that Lazarus had died. And Jesus stayed two more days. And in verse 6 it says, "So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place that he was." And then he told his disciples that they were going to go back to Judea. And his disciples got a little uneasy with that. And they said, "Rabbi, lately the Jews have sought to stone you, and you're going there again?" But Jesus let them know that they were in fact going back there. But now look at what Thomas says in verse 16, "Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us go also, that we may die with him.'" Listen, folks, Thomas loved him. He loved him. He's saying, "I would rather go with him and die than to stay here without him and live." He loved him. But just because you love him doesn't mean you may not miss him. You know what I'm saying? Just because you love him doesn't mean you may not miss him. And on that resurrection Sunday morning, Thomas missed him. You know, if I were to go around knocking on doors in Sault Ste. Marie, and I've done it a few times, if you go knocking on doors in Sault Ste. Marie and you ask people, "Do you love Jesus?" I would venture to say there would be an overwhelming number that would say, "Yeah, I love Jesus." But listen to me. You can love him and still miss him. You can love him and still miss him. Now, as I think about that, I think of Thomas. I think about, I just can't get out of my mind, where was the guy? What was he doing? What's he up to? How can he not be there? All the rest of the guys were there. Where could he be? And you can maybe say, well, maybe he wasn't interested in spiritual things anymore because the Lord had appeared. He had showed up. He had appeared to all these different people. But now look at back at John chapter 15, or 14 rather, where the Lord says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where you go, where I go, you know, and the way you know." And now look what Thomas says. "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" He's saying, "Lord, we don't have a clue. Fill me in. I'm not picking up what you're putting down. What are you saying here?" Thomas is saying, "Jesus, I want to be with you. I want to be with you. So clue me in. Let me know where it is you're going so I can know the way and I can be there." Folks, Thomas loved him. He loved him. He wanted to be with him. But just because you love him, just because you want to follow him, that doesn't mean you won't miss him. Thomas missed him. Because when those 10 disciples were gathered in that room that day, that resurrection Sunday, the first day of the week, Thomas wasn't there. He missed him. But why? Why did he miss him? Doesn't that drive you crazy? Why did he miss him? Where was he? What was he up to? Well, here's the deal. I could spend the next 4 hours speculating on why he wasn't there. What good is that going to do, right? We aren't told in Scripture whether he slept in, had the flu, or was at the hockey game. I don't know what kind of fruit Adam ate. I don't know what kind of fish swallowed Jonah. Drives me crazy sometimes. I'm going to ask the Lord when I get to heaven. But there are some things that we just aren't going to know. There are some things that we're just never going to know this side of glory. So instead of speculation, let's look to Revelation. We'll go to the Word and we'll see what we do know for sure. And we'll see what happens when you miss the resurrected Savior. And the first thing we see, again, is back in verse 19. We see that you miss the peace that his presence brings. Now, I don't know about you, but when you come in here this morning at 11 o'clock service and you hear this choir singing, it's celebrating. I'll tell you what, this is a foretaste of glory. This is a foretaste of heaven. I don't know how you guys can sit still. I'm glad I get to move at least a little bit, 3 feet anyway, because I couldn't sit still after that. It was wonderful. But when you miss his presence, and his presence is here right now, and when you miss it, you miss the peace his presence brings. But look at this again in verse 19. On that same day, then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut. Now pay attention to that phrase because that's vitally important. When the doors were shut. That literally means that those guys were locked in that room. Nobody was coming in and nobody was going out. They were locked in. A few years ago, I did a message entitled The Panic Room, around the time that that movie came out by that title. And they were locked in there for their protection. And a panic room is built so that people have protection. And you say, well, you know, preacher, that's only in the movies. Recently, Queen Elizabeth had one built in Windsor Castle at a cost of $1.5 million. It's got steel walls 18 inches thick, and you can you could shoot a Scud missile at it, and it won't penetrate it. It was built so that if a light aircraft crashed into Windsor Castle, no damage. They would be safe. Pretty unbelievable when you think about it, isn't it? A panic room. And that's where these guys were. But why? Why? Why were they in a panic room? Peter had seen Jesus that day, remember? And the women had seen him, and he had shown up to the guys on the road to Emmaus. The disciples had heard about it. And I can tell you that they weren't there to win Jerusalem for Jesus. They weren't there to win the world for Christ. They were there, it says, out of fear. Fear. The word is phobia. They had this phobia going on. And the phobia that they had was about the Jews. And I'll tell you what, fear makes you do totally irrational things. Howard Hughes used to use 4 large boxes of Kleenex every day because he'd wipe everything before he touched it. Alfred Hitchcock had a phobia about policemen. Napoleon Bonaparte, this kills me, this one. He conquered Europe and the guy had a fear of cats. I'm serious. Elizabeth I, known as a strong, red-headed woman, the daughter of Henry VIII, had a fear of flowers. But here's the best one, okay? Sigmund Freud was in fear of trains, he was in fear of death, and he had a panic attack whenever he got in front of, or whenever he got into a crowd of people. Now, think about it, because he was the father of psychoanalysis, okay? I mean, think about it. Caesar Augustus was afraid of the dark. Evel Knievel wouldn't fly in an airplane, but he would get on a motorcycle and jump the Grand Canyon. Are you kidding me? But here's one for today. Donald Trump has what they call charophobia. That's the fear of shaking hands. But these guys, these disciples, have what is called xenophobia. It's the fear of a race of people. Now, let me tell you something, how totally irrational fear is. These guys have a fear of Jews, and they're locked in a room with a bunch of Jews. Right? I mean, am I the only one I don't know. Fear had gripped their lives. I mean, these 10 guys, minus Judas, minus Thomas, are locked in this room. But now watch the text here. We need to look at some grammar, not grammar, but grammar this morning. And I don't just do this to do it, because we need to understand that it's vital to our understanding. It says that Jesus came and stood in their midst. That's the aorist tense. Now, we know the Word of God is inspired, but we also know that the tense of the words are totally inerrant as well. And so it says that Jesus came, that's aorist ingressive, and he stood in their midst. Now watch this, okay? This is good. This is good stuff. It means that he came out of whatever dimension he was in, doors locked in and out, and he stood in their midst. He was there, standing in their midst. Now let me tell you something. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you're dealing with in your life today. I don't know what fear, phobia, or whatever it is you're dealing with. But listen to me. On this Easter Sunday morning, on this resurrection Sunday morning, he will step out of wherever he is and step into your midst of your problem and meet you in your need. Hallelujah, what a Savior. He came and he stood in their midst. Thomas missed it. He missed it. I can't get over that. I don't know why he missed it, but he missed it. He missed it. And when he did, when he missed that, he missed 3 things that Jesus did with these guys. And first of all, I want you to watch this again. And in verse 19, he missed the consolation. Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Now, he didn't say, "Peace be among you." Now, remember, these guys sometimes didn't get along all that well. They had had this falling out. You know, I mean, they were arguing, who's going to be the greatest? They were picking at each other. The last time they were together, they're fighting with each other, not getting along. They wouldn't wash each other's feet. They wouldn't even admit they had dirty feet till Jesus washed them. So much so, these guys, they just couldn't get past that. But Jesus didn't say, peace be between you. He says, peace be with you. Some of you here this morning are probably dealing with situations. Maybe it's with a husband. Maybe it's with a wife, a family member, a son, a daughter, a parent. I don't know. And you're thinking, well, man, if I only had peace between us. Can I tell you, folks, that isn't the answer. He doesn't say peace between you or peace around you, because sometimes we think, oh, if I could just be in a peaceful setting, you know, if everything was just, you know, peaceful in this environment, it would solve all my problems. But no, it wouldn't. It really wouldn't. You see, it isn't until you have the peace of God in you that there's any difference in life. And he steps into their midst. He steps into where they were in their fear, and he says, peace be with you. Now remember, just a few nights ago, before that, he had said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives unto you. Therefore, let not your hearts be troubled, and be not afraid. My peace in you. And Thomas missed it. He missed it, and he missed that consolation. Second thing he missed was a commission. Going to verse 21, Jesus says the second time, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. It's interesting to me because there's a principle when you look at this verse and see that you will never really grasp the will of God for your life until you have the peace of God in your life. You need to have the peace of God in your life before you can get past anything beyond that. Verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. He's commissioning them. He's sending them out right here on the spot. This is what God's will is for your life. This is the direction for your life. And Thomas missed it. He missed it. He blew right by it. Beloved, you may be here this morning. You may love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But I'll tell you what, you run the risk of missing him this Easter Sunday morning. Don't miss him. Because if you miss him, you're going to miss that peace and you're going to miss that direction he has for your life. And now the third thing is this. There's a commendation here, and we see it in verse 22. He missed that consolation, he missed the commission, and he missed this commendation. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That's the same word that we see in the Septuagint, which is the Septuagint, when we read about him breathing, God breathing life into Adam, that breath of life into Adam, that living spirit into Adam. But understand, this is not Pentecost. This is a filling, but it's not the full filling that happens in Acts chapter 2 in Pentecost. But in the midst of their fear, wherever they were, he gives them this power and he gives them this strength. And Thomas misses it. He misses it. He missed that foretaste of glory, foretaste of what was to come. He missed it. Let me give you the second thing. The second thing is that when you miss Jesus Christ, you miss the joy that comes from being in his presence. And I think that there's a lot of us miss that. I mean, we even miss it sometimes when we come to church. You know, we not only miss it if we're not here, but we miss it sometimes when we're here. So let me take you back to and show you something very interesting in this, in verse 20. I missed it. Some of you are paying attention. Thank you for that. The rest of you, I don't know. I'll pray for you. Look at this. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They were glad. You know, I think that they probably went out and told Thomas that he had done that, that he had shown them, you know, his hands in his side. And when they did that, that's why he said what he said back in John chapter 16. He said, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples among them said, what is this that he says to us, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, what is this that he says, a little while? We don't know what he's saying. But now look at verse 20 in chapter 16. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful. Now he's talking about his crucifixion here. That's the whole crux of the passage. And he's saying you're going to weep, you're going to lament, you're going to be in just in sad shape. It's going to break your heart. But he says the world will rejoice. And let me tell you something. That day, that Friday, hell threw a party when he was crucified. Hell threw a party. But Joe said this morning around breaking of bread about the buts. I love the buts in the Bible. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. And there's no other way I can describe this to you but to tell you this. That sorrow was flipped into joy. Flipped into joy. You see, that's exactly what was happening back in the upper room. That's exactly what was going on when they saw him, when Jesus came, and all of a sudden he's right there in their midst, right then and there. How do you think they reacted? Do you think that they sat around like we sit around in church? I'm telling you, they were up shouting, high-fiving, having Baptist brethren fits right on the spot. They weren't sitting there like that. I really believe that. I do. I think they were shouting and shouting, just carrying on. Because can you imagine, you go and you bury the person who is closest to you, you have a funeral for them, and then you get home and they're standing on the doorstep waiting for you? Do you think you're going to be shouting, you'll be dancing? And he says that joy is indescribable. Now look at verse 22. Of John 16. Therefore, you will have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. He says, you may weep, you may cry, you may be fearful, you may be confused, but listen to me. I'm coming back, and when I show up, you're going to have a party. You're going to be carrying on. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Thomas missed it. He missed it. He missed it. Don't you miss it this morning. Don't miss it this morning. Whatever you do this Easter Sunday morning, don't miss it. Don't miss the resurrected Christ, because when you do, you miss the joy. When you do, you miss the peace. Don't miss it. Now, I managed to get through 2 points. I've got 5 minutes to get through the last two. So again, like Jehu through Jerusalem, behold, I go quickly. And the third thing is this. When you miss the master, you discover that doubts are going to arise. Now, back to chapter 20 for a minute. Verse 25, it says, the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. You know, people doubt this whole issue, or debate rather, maybe that's a better word, this whole issue of doubting Thomas. But I think that Thomas is no worse than any of the rest of us. I don't believe he's any worse than the rest of these disciples. He just wasn't there. He missed it. I'm not going to believe you guys. I'm not going to take your word for it. I need to see it for myself. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully right here, because isolation in the Christian life gives rise to doubts. Those doubts will lead ultimately to disbelief. Let me say it again. Isolation in the Christian life will give rise to doubts that will ultimately lead to disbelief. Jesus died for people. He died for people. And if we were in a barn today sitting on bales of hay, we'd still be the church, right? We'd still be the church. He died for people. And when you miss this, you miss it. You know, you open yourself up to the devil, the enemy, and you begin to discover that he's going to plant doubts into your soul. And that's exactly where we find Thomas. Thomas, he'd been isolated, and in his isolation, he discovered he had disbelief. He says, until I can see it for myself, I will not believe. Let me give you the last thing. Because when you miss Christ, you miss his peace. When you miss Christ, you miss his joy. When you miss Christ, you discover doubts are going to come. But if you miss him once, folks, don't miss him again. Don't miss him again. Maybe you've said no to Jesus. I don't know. Maybe at some point in your life you've said no. But let me tell you, you are here today. And I'll tell you what, God's Spirit is here today. And he's drawing each one of us. He's wooing us into his presence. Don't miss him again. You miss him once. Don't miss him a second time. Now look at this, verse 26. After 8 days, his disciples are again inside. Thomas with him. Guess what? He showed up at church again. Jesus came. Doors are shut, locked up, and he's in their midst again. And he said the third time, peace to you. He came back to church. He wasn't going to miss it. No way he was going to miss it again. Can I tell you again that if you miss him once, don't miss him again? Jesus says, come to me. He says, come to me. I love you. I died for you. And when Thomas comes, does Jesus get all up in his face because he missed him? Does he get bent out of shape? No. He didn't give Thomas a hard time about it. He shows up and he says the same thing. Peace to you. Peace to you. Then he turns to Thomas and he says, look, I'm going to meet that very specific need in your life. Reach your hand here. You know, I'm not going to rabbit trail too far on this, but that picture of him putting his hand in that side, think about the size of that gash. Put your hand in my side, you know. I have an average size hand, but I don't know how, he might have been a big brute like somebody, I don't know, but think about that. But he met the need that Thomas had. He met his need right where he was. And we need to understand that he wants to meet your need. And you know, we talk about this confession of Peter, you know. Peter said, my Lord and my God. As Thomas says in verse 28, he says, my Lord and my God. But I'll tell you what, I believe that this is every bit as great a confession as what Peter had said, my Lord and my God. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. So what need do you have this morning, folks? What need did you come in with this morning? Maybe you need to make him your Savior. Maybe you need to be baptized. I don't know whatever need you have, but I'll tell you what, whatever need you do have, he wants to be your Lord and your God. So if you have a need in your life this morning, after the choir sing their last package, I want you to know there's people here wanting to stay and pray with you. I know it's Easter Sunday morning, but what better day to be resurrected? Amen. My Lord and my God. Amen. Father, thank you again for your peace. I pray for your peace to be filled in this place this morning, that every one of us be just sense that peace, Father. Every one of us be filled with your peace. Would you, Father, would you touch the ones that struggle? Would you meet their needs as we commit them to you? In Jesus' name, amen.